from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
Do you know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming. And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The morning shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, and this is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia Studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here hanging out with you post Labor Day. So hopefully you all had a fantastic weekend and enjoyed your Monday if you were off like the rest of us were.
How was Hawaii?
Man, so recovering from the jet lag. It was pretty cool. I mean, it's never a bad trip when you get to go to Hawaii, even if it is for work. We got our own private tour of Pearl Harbor, so I can get into that later, which was absolutely incredible. Some of the areas that we got to be taken into and what we got to see. And then as for, we had a day of rain, of all rain, and a lot of long meetings with two good teams to cover, Hawaii and UCLA. And I don't know if you guys caught it on Saturday night. We had the late game here, but it was afternoon out there. And this one came down to the very end, so
I can't remember if you had already left the Olympics when the Big Ten Media Days with UCLA's head
we
coach
We did
happened.
Talk about that okay. with Deshaun Foster yeah. in our meeting.
It was and brutal. I'm imagining he was probably better in y'all's meeting than he was.
He was fantastic, and he's also really good post-game and in-game interviews as well. But nice. Good guy, and he was able to make light of the moment, and they made T-shirts that said we're in L.A. So I don't know if you guys caught that, but
that.
Yeah, he had
good
a,
for him.
Press conference was kind of, I guess you could say, Nick Sirianni-esque in a way when he took the Eagles job and everybody wanted to slam him and come down on him after his press conference. People were kind of doing the same thing to Deshaun Foster out there. But, hey, they were able – it wasn't pretty, but they were able to get their first win and his first win as a head coach at his alma mater. So
good deal.
That was it. My weekend in a nutshell. How about you guys?
Same old, same old. I was telling Bo, I wasn't lazy this weekend, but everything I did, nothing was productive. I spent a lot of time with my children, which was good.
yeah, it's just the way funny? You said it. You're just like, I spent a lot of time with my children.
Yeah, yeah. No, all it's right. It's one of those things that you're happy to ship them back to daycare after 3 days, but you enjoy it. My son's starting his T-ball up this weekend, man, so we got the glove fitted on and bought some cleats and did the whole thing, and he's not even excited about playing T-ball, so we'll see what happens. But he's not excited about anything. You could be like, hey, you want to go to the playground? He'd be like, no! And then he'd get there, and he's going
to
have a good time.
Ready to
so
go.
We'll see what happens, man. But, yeah, it was one of those weekends. I got to chill around the house and hang out with them. Nothing productive. Absolutely zero. So
yeah.
It was good.
I was the same way. I was like, I'm not doing anything this weekend I don't want to do. Like, I did cook a lot of meat. Did some tomahawks Friday night. The in-laws came over. And then Saturday we did a pork butt for the neighborhood. And we also – there was a brisket that had been in my freezer for 2 years. And I pulled it out.
So it was fresh.
And, well, Day-Day, it's okay when it's frozen. The only issue you have to run into is freezer burn, which
yeah.
it was a 10-pound brisket. It was not a small brisket.
Ooh.
So we had a little, we had, when we cooked it, because we cooked it Saturday as well, half of it had like the freezer burn. So what do you do when you get freezer burn brisket?
You just chop cut half it, of it off.
You cut it off, you chop it up, and you make burn ends.
There you go.
So we made some burn ends with it. We had like a little feast for Saturday. But dude, I didn't want to move all day Saturday. Like I literally sat there, and I was supposed to go over around noon to my buddy's house. And I used the pork butt wasn't an excuse, but I did not walk over to 5 o'clock. I just sat on the couch and had two TVs and the iPad going. I just could not pull off the college football.
We had a very different Saturdays. I cannot tell you how hot it was on the field.
It was hot here. I can't even imagine what it was down there.
I had fans cheering me on every time I chugged water on the sideline. So
yes.
A forehead got cooked. So very opposite weekend. But I did nothing on got back late-ish on Sunday and then was pretty much a zombie all day. Sunday and then our rest of the day Sunday and then yesterday. So
yeah, I got on the golf course yesterday. It was funny. My buddy Jorge pulled up and we were on the tee box and I hear whose voice? Mike's.
Uh-oh.
He pulled up like the Odyssey app and was streaming it. I think just to get in my head.
Yeah,
to make
nice.
Me hear my own voice.
Attaboy.
I was like, dude, what are you doing? This is brutal.
You get a
turn
little wham in there.
I said, turn that off.
No.
Wham, wham, wham.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Well, as Mike had said just a little bit ago, where do we start? Because this was a jam-packed weekend. Good to have week one of college football underneath all of our belts. And so we can talk a little bit about Georgia and how they kicked off their season, knocking off Clemson. This was ugly for your Tigers, if you are a Tigers fan. A 34-3. On Saturday. So the number one team rolls along. Carson Beck throwing for almost close to 300 yards, including a pair of touchdowns. So they opened up in a big way. They opened up a can in a big way on Saturday.
Yeah, I think a lot of Georgia fans are a little bit in their feelings about the first half from what I've heard. It was you could call it a sleepy start, but I thought Clemson's defense was phenomenal in this game for the most part until they just kind of got worn down and this is like a championship fight that went 8 rounds, and you're like, man, this is a good fight. And then the last 4 rounds of the fight, the champion just stood up and dominated. You know, Georgia at one point became too much for Clemson, and there was not enough firepower for Clemson. I mean, even with their defense is fast, Mike, especially on the perimeter. I thought they made some great plays, but when it came down to it, you saw the better team just rise up and dominate that second half.
Yeah, I agree with you. That first the first half, they're flying around. And I was actually paying attention to A.J. Terrell's little brother because we talked to A.J. Terrell in camp about his brother and how excited he was. I know A.J. and Kevin Butler were both the captains for the game. So watching that kind of out the gate, I thought the front for Clemson played really well. And to your point, I thought Clemson's defense got worn down in the second half, and it wasn't so much that, you know, they were just getting mashed. It was just there's so many targets for Georgia. There's so many offensive weapons that you feel like are kind of on the same tier. You know, watching guys like Dylan Bell, watching Lovett, watching Smith. I mean, all those guys getting their hands on the ball can just send it to the next level. I thought they were as dangerous, as they have been in the past. You're missing Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers, but watching the names they have just kind of continue to surface, I thought there was more targets in this one, just spread wildly for Carson Beck than we've seen in the past.
Yeah, you see you see them go to the portal and make things happen, like London Humphrey, guy that just pops up and has a great day. I'll tell you this, give Mike Bobo some credit too, because Mike Bobo in that second half, he started that second half drive with some play calls that basically changed that game completely around with what Clemson was looking at, and it got him off schedule with them.
Hey, and who stepped up for running backs? The young guy, the freshman, Nate Frazier. So 83 yards, 11 carries, and a touchdown. So Georgia finding a multitude of ways to get it done against Clemson. Other scores around college football. You want to talk about Bama? Do we need to talk about Bama?
I mean, I'll be honest, Tiff, I don't know what I saw. They were
63-0.
Yeah, I mean,
as you expect that maybe they should over.
Well, the point is, I thought they were more explosive than they've shown in a really long time. The problem is, it was like they didn't need to do anything else. It just kind of was what it was. They were very, very, very explosive, racked up a lot of yards, but it wasn't like Jalen Milroe came out and showed you what Jalen Milroe is going to do all year. He was absolutely throwing the ball down the field. And when you have games like that, when you don't even have 10 throws and you're racking up that many, you know, passing yards, I don't think it's a key for anything down the stretch. It looked to me like the old Chip Kelly Oregon teams playing Idaho. It's like, okay, yeah, you're really explosive. I don't know what
but
else you are.
You at least take from it, they took care of business. Like sometimes
yeah,
you
sure.
can end up playing down to an opponent, and I'm not, and this is no slight against Western Kentucky.
No, I agree with you.
But, you know, they did what they had to do.
And they were exactly, let me put it this way, they were exactly what I thought they would be offensively. Defensively, I thought they played better than I even thought they would. They were locked down defensively on that side of the ball. I know that their new defense coordinator, Kane Womack, was like, love to see more turnovers. But it was what it was. I thought they played well. I have no idea what it means the rest of the season, but they definitely took care of business. So,
I think that's what you wanted, though. You didn't want them to struggle. You don't want to see, you know, Kalen DeBoer didn't need that coming out. And I know that we're probably going to try to talk to him when they play Georgia here in about a month or end of the month, but that's what they needed. That's exactly what he needed to start his era.
Number 7, Notre Dame beat number 20th ranked Texas A&M on the road 23-13. So A&M... not off to the start that they were hoping for, especially when you have Notre Dame coming in.
Somebody tweeted, this is what you get when you hire Elmer Fudd.
Oh,
talking about
it.
Mike Elko.
Oh, man.
I thought that was rough.
You know, I had not even thought until that game kicked off about the fact that it was Riley Leonard against Mike Elko.
I know.
It had not even crossed my mind.
Well,
and we had talked about that game a bunch.
I knew Riley Leonard. I think Riley Leonard, if Notre Dame can roll off some wins and he plays to what he is, you're going to hear Riley Leonard's name mentioned with Carson Beck's in the Heisman Trophy conversation. But Notre Dame going on the road, whatever you think of Texas A&M, that's not an easy place to win. And going on the road and out physical in a Texas A&M team, that's impressive.
And good for Marcus Freeman, too, man. If you watch him like bringing those guys out of that tunnel to start that year, I know there's been a lot of questions about what his tenure will be like. You know, once Brian Kelly left and he was kind of put into that role. First of all, the dude is yoked. I'll just go ahead and just get that one out there. I was like, this dude's like just bulging in the freaking – I'm like, yes, dude, look. He is yoked.
We were watching a game with a group of our neighbors, and somebody goes – one of the girls goes, oh, who's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Wow. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not even a female. And I was like, man, who's that guy? No, he was a – he looks like – I can't talk about how good-looking the guy
no,
is.
No, you can't.
I mean, golly.
I didn't name names. I didn't name names.
No, man.
Who's
look,
that?
Save myself.
Hey,
no, it is what
I'm
it is, man.
To get to the
I was like,
here.
Man, that you would think any other team you'd be watching, you'd be going, golly, man, that strength coach is ripped. No, that's the head man. Like, he looks like no other head man in college football, and his team looked really good Saturday night, too.
All right, we got a couple more scores to get to when we come back, including two of our alma maters here. Both of them did not fare well. I'll give you a little hint there. And man up, this segment where I guess you guys are going to make fun of yourselves.
I'm going to make fun of Mike. I'm never wrong.
I can laugh at you guys?
I'm never wrong,
okay.
So I'll make fun of Mike.
All right.
That's fine.
We'll weigh in on some.
If you can find something in there, go ahead.
Reaction to some predictions in Man Up. Stay with us here on The Morning Shift. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Shift.
I'm in.
Me too.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back here on The Morning Shift on the heels of week one of a jam-packed slate of college football. So we ran through some scores, and I want to also, alma mater had a tough go out there against Brent Key and his Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. They beat Georgia State at home 35-12 to improve to 2-0 on the season.
You think that's the shortest away game
in college
football this year? 1.7 miles or something like that?
It's gotta be.
I think so. It has to be.
Yeah, I can't think of another one that's even remotely that close. Even the teams that are in the same
state, like
or like Deshaun said, in Los Angeles, in LA. I don't know, but that's got to be up there. 1.7 miles. That's a road trip right there.
It has to be. But Yellow Jackets 2-0 now, so took down Florida State in their opener in Ireland, and now taking down Georgia State at home. So this new segment, I'll probably take a lot of fun or have a lot of fun with this.
You would, Tiff. You know? You would.
Just when you guys are wrong, it kind of, I don't know, maybe it gives everybody else out there a warm feeling. It gives me a warm feeling when you guys are wrong. Just kind of makes me feel good.
Well, as angry as you might be on Friday when we pick against your team, I would hope that you'd show up the following week to listen to us talk about how bad it was. You know what I mean?
You know, I think that this audio is going to sound bad for me because I realize that one thing I have a tendency to do is whether I'm right or wrong, I'm very assertive.
Adamant.
And believing in my opinions. Oh my God. And so I was sitting there watching one of these games I just looked at.
A moment of reflection. This segment is called Man Up, by the way, but it's also kind of like a self-help segment now as I'm hearing Bo talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think
accountability.
I don't think there's a thing on this earth that you can do that's more that doesn't define manning up than holding yourself accountable.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree, man.
Well, I guess.
You know what? Since you are having this deep moment of reflection right now, why don't we start with you and let's take a listen to your Georgia pick for the Clemson game.
I think Georgia covers as well. I'm going to go head to head with this guy against the spread. I've got Georgia covering as well.
All right.
Okay.
You feel good about that?
They covered easily. Yeah.
Easily.
I was like, they won 34-3.
Okay.
Spread was 10.5.
Yeah.
Spread was 10.5.
They covered by three of the spreads, pretty much.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
20 points. Yeah.
I'm so smart.
Hmm. Yeah.
All right, good for you. What say you, Michael? What did you say on Friday?
Give me Georgia 8 times over in this. I think Georgia wins handily. I should have thrown a fair foul in there, but I think Clemson's a program maybe on the upswing. Dabo's second act, but Georgia minus 12, love it all day. I think it's a 2-touchdown victory for them.
Well, I don't know about the upswing thing.
You
were wrong when you were right.
I was way more adamant than you were.
You were. And
honestly, everything that you kind of thought would eventually happen in this game didn't happen until the second half, but I thought the first half would look a lot like that. I thought Clemson would be a lot more full of life offensively, and that's not to take anything away from what I thought the Georgia defense would be because I knew they'd fly around. I just thought Clemson would have more of an answer in the trenches offensively than they did. And I talked about Dabo's second act. I did swing and miss on that. That was an absolute whiff. I don't see anything going on at Clemson right now that leads me to believe that they're even close to going to win an ACC championship other than the fact that the rest of the ACC doesn't look very good either. So, yeah.
I just want to – this is a slow clap here because you guys really manned up there. And
well, I don't know. We're pretty right. We're pretty right there.
You know,
so.
You know? So let's talk a little about number 19, Miami, beating Florida on the road. What did you say, Bo?
Did we pick this game? Well, they got Miami as a 2.5 favorite. Not so fast.
Not so fast, my friend.
The Gators win 31-24.
Ooh. Oh, well, wait. Let me give the final score.
Somebody scored 31
it was
points.
41-17. Miami wins.
Yeah.
The floor is yours, man.
First off,
he chose not to wear a Gator shirt in here today.
No, but I'm close to the colors. I wore my own brand in here today, my own Squid Nation gear. You know what? I was way wrong. Miami looks really good. Cam Ward is going to have to correct some things.
He's
because
a Jesse dude.
He's got to stop throwing across the middle, across his body when he's on the other side of the field, right? That being said, he looked really good. He looks poised. If this is the product Billy Napier thinks he's going to put out there and survive, he's not. Graham Mertz did not look good even before he got hurt. But the bigger issue was receivers weren't getting open. Other than Trey Wilson, guys weren't getting open for Florida. That offense is putrid. And as bad as they looked offensively, the defense looked like
Swiss cheese.
I'm not making fun of it. There's high school. Buford is playing better defense than that right now. And Buford's, obviously one of the best teams in the state.
Yes, they are.
But that was awful. Billy, I've always supported you. I know Chatsworth, Georgia is always listening because we got some members of the nation up there. But if you don't get it together, you will not make it through the half of the season. And it's time for DJ Lagway to go ahead and start.
Yeah, I got you.
Do we want to – let's take a listen to what Mike said on Friday.
This just feels like Florida's supposed to win this one. People have been overlooking them, talking about the schedule. Give me Florida in this one as well. And I hate to roll with that with the squid, Billy. But, Rob, I'll take Florida minus the points as well, or plus the points.
Oh, man. Can I say the score again? 41-17.
Yeah, no.
We're so good, aren't we?
Yeah, it's crazy, you know, how spot on we are. It's a good thing we got that first one right, because I don't know that I got any of the rest of them right. But, listen, when you go with this – look, Florida just – they looked lifeless. And it was the same thing defensively that you were worried about. Honestly, they looked like LSU's defense from last year defensively. They just looked like they didn't have a clue what was going on in front of them. There was a lack of toughness in the trenches. They looked like they got bullied all night by a Miami team that hasn't bullied anybody in recent history. Yeah. And I mean, credit Mario Cristobal, man. That is a guy who I think played as a bully when he was in college, obviously, and kind of carries that mentality. It just hasn't shown up as a coach. And yet that was the first inkling I was like, man, the U ain't back, but man, that was they played bully in the sandbox.
The level of accountability in this room is at an all time high right now, yeah. And I hope your wives are listening for the next time you guys mess up at home.
I don't
want to take ownership of it. So yeah. I really hope that you show the same accountability that you're showing in this room over college football.
Fair enough.
When you're back at home.
That's kind of you to say, but don't bet on it.
Oh, this is the Man Up segment, and these guys are just recapping the picks they made for college football on Friday and also eating crow a lot of bit on some of their picks. So since Mike kind of snuck in a little LSU mention there, I'll talk about number 23 USC beating number 13 LSU on the road 27-20. This was the late game on Sunday night.
Yeah.
It was a good one. So let's hear what Bo had to say on Friday.
I think Brian Kelly's a good enough coach to know how to win ball control. The trenches is still a problem for USC. LSU -4.5. Yeah, well,
wow.
Yikes.
USC did not look like they had a lot. That's as good as a Lincoln Riley team has looked in the trenches that I recall.
Yeah.
Maybe since the Tiff, remember when he first took over for Bob Stoops, and they had a better trench play under Stoops. That they might have been that level. That was a really good performance. That the USC quarterback was a gunslinger. Holy smokes, he made some throws. Both quarterbacks in that game played well, but that the press conference for Brian Kelly was as embarrassing as my pick right there.
And I'm so angry about it.
Maybe that's what Mike will sound like now after we play back his cut from Friday.
Lincoln Riley against this defense, and I think Garrett Nussmeier, great, like everything you hear out of them, phenomenal. Future NFL quarterback. Just don't think he's Jaden Daniels, and I don't think they'll outscore USC this weekend. Give me USC plus the points out in Las Vegas.
Let's go!
Oh, wow. I was wrong.
Let's go!
Look at you, 2-1.
Let's go!
Are y'all going to be keeping score?
I don't know, Tiff. It depends on how lopsided it is.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't
absolutely
know.
We are.
This is actually... It's actually a lot of fun.
Yeah,
you know, because I don't have to take part in this. I'm usually gone for games. I'm traveling, so I get to come back surprised.
Just smash us over
to
the head.
See who
the
was
facts.
Right and who was wrong, and share it all with you guys.
Let me take my victory lap before you go in. Let me take my victory lap. Everything I thought was true about LSU would be true. And here's the thing: Garrett Nussmeier, NFL quarterback. Miller Moss, probably an NFL quarterback. I don't know what the long term. Is for USC. He did have a lot of batted balls, which could probably go wrong in the end. But Brian Kelly has yet to figure out how to win these games. It looked like USC played this game perfectly on defense. They played like a four-man umbrella. I know Herb Street mentioned it a couple times. Like a four-man umbrella. And then once LSU got to the red zone and everything kind of tightened up and you could kind of jump some of those routes with that umbrella and kind of really tighten up some of those throws, they were locked down. Like there was... three different trips inside the 15 for LSU, and they scored 6 points. And that was the difference in the game. I still think Brian Kelly, I love him pounding the table. No, I don't. It was terrible. I still think they have a lot to figure out. Garrett Nussmeier is not one of the things he needs to figure out, but LSU has a lot to figure out in the coming week.
I was impressed, actually, with both of these teams on defense. I thought that's. I even said it with Sandy when I did the steakhouse on Friday. I said, "You take." I probably cost a lot of people some money. I said, "You need to take the over in this game because this might be like 45-40." I mean, I really thought these teams were going to do just Dallas score, and they came out like they were going to. Once again, Brian Kelly starts a game on a neutral field and loses his mind on the first possession. Why in the world did he go for it on fourth and goal there to start that game? Just take the points. You don't know what USC is going to do offensively, but you know one thing. Lincoln Riley knows how to have his teams able to score. He always has a scheme that can score points. It just makes – because Brian Kelly, Tiffany, did the exact same thing last year, if you remember, on the road against Florida State, and guess what it did? He let points go, and then when they needed those points late in the game, he was scrambling, and then Florida State ended up blowing doors on him late last year. It just doesn't make sense. You always take the points against a good team or a rival that you know can put points on the board, like USC. I don't understand. He loses games at the beginning – and then he can't figure them out at the end, and he wonders what he's doing because you're chasing your tail all game.
Look, I'm sorry to LSU fans. There's Reggie Chapman out there over at 11 Alive. I think he had shared, if I have this stat right, it's now been 5 years that they have lost their opening game. So that's not all on Brian Kelly, obviously, but I'm pretty sure that's what he put out. So my condolences. LSU fans.
Well,
out there.
They're not great people. They're all Saints fans anyways.
Come on. All right, when we come back here, your team captains have been set for the Atlanta Falcons. We will rattle off that list of leaders, and I'll recap my trip to Honolulu, the magic that is Hawaii. Stay with us here on The Morning Shift. We'll hit a TV's timeout when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes, it is a lovely morning, isn't it?
Now, more of The Morning Shift
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back here on The Morning Shift, this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We have a TV's timeout to get to, and week one of the NFL season is upon us. And I'll be gone this weekend for my game.
Where are you heading?
I am headed to Buffalo. Thank goodness it is this time of year. So the Cardinals at the Bills should be actually a really good one. So I'm excited to see Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison Jr., and then Josh Allen, and kind of a new look-ish Bills when it comes to their receiving core. And hopefully I'll get to talk to Keon Coleman this week.
Yeah.
So
good call.
When we have our meetings with them on Friday. So
that's cool. That's a good assignment for you. I love hearing that. I want to hear about what you see because those are the games I don't get to watch.
Yeah.
Because luckily we start at home this year, obviously, with the Falcons. And
Steelers.
Big time.
And it's funny that you said I'm happy to go there this time of the year. It's different for you because your assignments can change. You know, you're going to get a cold weather game more than likely at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And I was looking at ours the other day, and I was like, man, I'm trying to think of, like, the coldest game we might have. And I think it might just be – I think our coldest game might not be cold at all.
It's Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it must
Washington.
Be nice to be up in a booth when
December 29th.
Cold outside.
Hey, to our credit – it gets cold in that booth with the windows open and the wind gusts.
I was
going to
say FedEx Field might not have even if it's called not called FedEx.
Boo-hoo,
might not have here.
Boo-hoo.
That is. Have you ever done a game there?
No, at FedEx?
Yeah.
Yes. But not on the sidelines the whole time, just pregame for NFL Network.
It's the worst stadium, dude. It's the second worst.
It used to be San Diego, now it's Washington for sure.
It's actually Miami. Miami is now the worst as far as like where we sit. But FedEx Field, you're in the corner of the end zone, and pretty much I could shake hands with fans. That's how close. I dropped a pen or actually a Sharpie out of there the other day or a couple years ago. Pretty sure I hit somebody in the face.
Maybe you can hand out your T-shirts up there. Just kidding. The Atlanta Falcons have named their team captains for the 2024 season. So, and they include Jesse Bates, quarterback Kirk Cousins, defensive lineman Grady Jarrett, and offensive tackle Jake Matthews are your team captains for the 2024 season.
Nothing surprising about this, and I don't know how this is normally done. Some teams have more than four captains. I don't know how that usually works or if that's a Raheem Morris thing. The only name that I thought might be included is we hear from a lot of people that look at Chris Lindstrom as a captain. That's the only one I can think of that you know might have been in the mix that wasn't placed in that realm.
Did Bates come in and was he a captain last year? Did he come in quickly
feels like he was.
I need to go back and check, but I want to say that he was, but I also remember, and I can't remember, this is where seasons run together for me, but I can't remember if Arthur Smith did it last year where he had rotating captains, because one year I want to say that he came in, he had like each week the captains changed. I would push back on your statement about Chris Lindstrom in the mix. I think this is absolutely right. I think if anybody on that offensive line deserves to be a captain, it is Jake Matthews.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of his tenure. He's the only constant that we've seen. He is the only guy left. Him and Grady Jarrett from the Super
Mike
Bowl
team.
I was
just saying maybe if they had another one.
Last year, Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson were both captains for the Eagles. They also had five offensive captains at times. You know what I'm saying? Jalen Hurts was a captain. Devontae Smith was a captain. A.J. Brown was a captain. So I'm not saying that Jake shouldn't. I'm just saying I'm shocked that Chris Lindstrom, if they were going to do five, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, maybe. It just seems like he was a name that's usually in the mix when you get, like, you know, the first two guys to speak at training camp. It's like Jesse Bates and Chris Lindstrom or Jesse Bates and Kirk Cousins. Jake is just – he's a long-tenured, long-in-the-tooth vet, but he's not the most talkative guy, and he leads by example, I guess what I'm trying to say.
Are you kind of surprised they didn't do a fifth captain from – like, and one and guy from, like, maybe
– special teams?
Youngway or – Liam McCullough or something.
Bradley
Pinion.
I could see that. And usually that's the way it was. You know, when I was probably my third year in, maybe my second year, we had three of our team captains were all from like the same area in Texas. It was like Sean Weatherspoon, I guess would have been Matt Bryant, and one of the defensive tackles. Who would that have been? I'm losing my mind right now.
No, I know it wasn't Babineau because he was an Iowa guy.
No, it was Babineau.
Babineau was from Texas? Though?
Yeah. So they were. It was so funny because they announced like four captains and three of them were all from like the same place. Arthur kind of Texas, which is crazy.
I know we got to get the time out. There are names in Atlanta Falcons history that don't always roll off the tongue, but when you go back and you think about them, and you think about how if they played anywhere else in the country, in an NFL or, you know, in the league, they would be guys, it would be household names. Corey Peters and Jonathan Babineau are two guys that always come to mind for me. And I know Corey Peters ended up playing longer in Arizona than he did here, but Jonathan Babineau was the best player that most fans in the NFL did not know the name of. That dude was so good. Imagine it just I would have loved to have seen him get a ring and get notoriety, I guess you'd
also
say.
Also a great golf partner. Used to have the foursome of Corey Peters, me, Joe Hawley, and Jonathan Babineau. Used to go up there and tear it up, St. Marlowe. You know what I'm saying? A little Bears best up that corridor. Good times.
Man. You know, a fun guy to play golf is Adrian Claiborne.
There you go.
Let's hit a TB's timeout.
Now listen up.
Now let's take a look at what's going on in Tiffany's world.
This ain't funny.
With TB's timeout on the morning shift.
So I was jet setting again last week. I would like to thank myself and my employees, our employers at the time, NBC, CBS. I am now back to diamond status on Delta. So, I mean, I accumulated that within like a month.
I was going to say, how many miles does that take? So you can knock that out real quick.
I am hurting, and my trip started out last week. I just got back from my travels and then Ireland for the FSU-Georgia Tech game. I come in with you guys for a few days. Then I go back to the airport to leave for my college football assignment in Hawaii. And as I am going down the jet bridge, a Delta gate agent, and I wish I could have got his name, but we were all in the process of moving and boarding. He looks at me. I see him do a double take. I said, oh no, this man knows who I am. And he says, you're leaving again? And then I knew he had to be a listener for the morning shift. So I wish I could have gotten your name, but thanks for listening. And yes, I was leaving again. And so,
that's crazy. Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool.
That's cool. So, a lot of good people out there listening to the show. So, and a lot of Delta employees listening to the show. I probably will know them all by name by the end of this year. So, I, went to Hawaii for the UCLA and Hawaii game. And, you know, you would think it would be all sunshine and everything in Hawaii. It was for, I think, when I got there. But then I was so worn down for my travels. And I was on the phone with someone repeating things. They're like, you need to not go to the beach. You need to you need to go to sleep. And I said, no, I don't. And then I passed out and woke up at 9 o'clock. So I missed my only day of sun. We had a lot of rain on Saturday, but some really good meetings where, as Mike mentioned, with Deshaun Foster, UCLA alum, running back, had a career in the NFL, is now the head coach at UCLA's alma mater. And so, yeah, we had some fun in the meeting with the, yes, they are in LA, shirts from his Big Ten media days. So, but
was it a good game?
It was a good game. I know it's a good game when the security guard that's assigned to me is telling me, you move a lot. And I was like, I'm sorry. It's 8,000 degrees. You do not have to follow me. I'm not getting mobbed in this game. So, because I will say the Hawaii fans were great. And I ended up being kind of positioned on their sideline because that's where the story was. For the latter half kind of the game, because you're thinking, wow, they might act like upset UCLA. And the school talked about how huge it was for them. That was their first game on network television since 2012. So they were using this as like their linebackers coach, Chris Brown, had said to the team, this game is for you can either gain exposure or get exposed. And so that's what he told the guys. So, yeah, really good coach speak. And he's a former player there, too.
How cool was the entrance?
So I was, it's like I didn't get to see it because I was on the far side. Yeah. That's where I was stationed to do my hit. But we've all seen that before, yeah. Right? So, which is incredible. I know we're coming up on time. So I will say the fans, in terms of fan engagement, that I usually have my headset in, my IFB in, so I don't really hear anybody. But the Hawaii fans started like, CBS, CBS. And it caught me at a moment where you could see my earbuds were not actually in. And so they started cheering me on every time I drank water. And so, which is like a
chug. Yeah.
So I did, you know, knocked out a couple bottles.
Girl.
It's a good time. So that was the game. But I did want to get into our tour for, you know, there's a lot of scenic shots that you get when you're watching a college football game. You may not think about it at home, but they'll be showing beautiful views of the city that they are in. And so we were fortunate enough to get to go to Pearl Harbor as a group. And so it was, I can't say enough. It was incredible, especially if you're one that doesn't know a ton of, you know about it, right? But you don't know everything. And so we had a tour guide named Jim that did serve in the military. And he also has been at Pearl Harbor for like 20 years. And he took us to the site for USS Utah. And that doesn't get a lot of foot traffic. Because you're right there by the homes, by the military, by the family homes, which I should say, side note, the homes, it's incredible that one, they're all still there. And two, there's a plaque outside of each individual home of these families. And it shows you who lived there. And so who was there and then who lives there now. And so I thought that was really special. It also, from looking at the wreckage of USS Utah, which they couldn't get out. So they eventually just decided we're just going to leave this here and memorialize it. And so, but it shows you the distance for where you can see the homes for where these men had to swim. And granted, the shoreline has, it's receded a lot now, but the distance to try to fight for your life to get off of the ship was incredible. It was incredibly moving to get to see all that. We went to another angle to go see the USS Arizona, that whole memorial where people could actually step on there and see. We got to look at it from afar. So just a really, for me, really, and anyone that gets a chance to go, just a really impactful visit. Just dark time in our nation's history, but Jim giving a really good message of like unity for like all the nations for us. And so that was probably one of the highlights. I mean, the game, yes, is great and I'll get to do that. But for me,
yeah, that's so cool to get to see that.
I've been to Hawaii for work. This was the second time. The last time was 10 years ago. Marcus Mariota did not go to the draft, so I got the lucky assignment to go. But I've always wanted to be able to go to Pearl Harbor and see it. So anyway, that was the trip to Hawaii.
Really cool. Really cool.
Really cool trip. And then, I will hopefully see the gate agent again this week when I am jet setting to Buffalo.
Well, you can go get some wings in Buffalo, where the first place for the Buffalo wing was originated. So another history trip.
My dad was up there for a bit. Yeah. So we definitely had our fair share of wings whenever I got to go visit them.
Old Anchor Bar.
Up in Buffalo. So that was your TB's time out. When we come back, let's get you back to some college football and your dogs doing a big against Clemson. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.